By the Lord to say that the tapes are free to the body of Christ. I'll tell you this story again, and I figure many of these tapes have this story. But when God called me, one of the many calls that He called me before I did answer, I was traveling through the night, and it was very dark. It was so dark that I could not see anything. I could only feel in the night the rail. I could feel along the street. And I was going towards the music, and this tune was being played. It must have been a nocturne. I think it was Chopin's Nocturne, and I was following this music through the night. And then I touched a gate, and the gate opened, and the music was in that direction, so I went through the gate. And I went to a door, and the door opened. And the most magnificent scene, I saw a hall draped in green all around. And the carpet was green, and a lady dressed in green was sitting at the piano, and she was playing. And she was just beautifully playing, and the music thrilled my soul. And I went into this hall, and she turned around to me and said, "Why have you waited so long?" She said, "Now go, the whole household is waiting on you." And from what she told me, it was a wedding to be, and then they were waiting on me to take the food for this wedding feast. So I rushed out, and it seems I got new joy, new life. And when I rushed out of that place, day began to light. And it got brighter and brighter as I run. I kept running on to this place where I should get my orders. When I reached to the farm, I saw a long line of men getting in, so I got myself in line for work. And when I reached to the place, the man took up his list, and he looked and he said, "Oh yes, call my name." He said, £1,000 of food to the household. And he called to some men to take the £1,000 of food. And here comes the men with this big sack of food. And they put it on my back. And I staggered off, joyful that I had got my work to do. I went on until it got hot, and I got tired. And any of you who carry load on your shoulder or on your head, you'll know that after you do a few miles, maybe you feel the pain like it's on your heart. And I got so tired, and it was so hot, and the sun was beating down on me. I said, "Man, the first house I reach, I'm going to put down this food." So I saw a house in the distance, and soon I came to it, and I was about to put down it. But when I looked at the house, it was so shabby that I couldn't take it. I went to the next house, It was a little better than the first, but it was still shabby. Went to the third house, and it was a little better, but it was still shabby. Not the thing I saw. So I saw a big house in the distance, and I decided I'm going to give the food to this house. I can't go any a foot further. So I dropped the sack of food and was about to go into this house when I saw a woman look at me from the upstairs window. And the look of the woman, I remember what she looked like. One tooth was gone in the front here, and she smiled a navy smile at me. And man, I just picked up my food and said, I'd rather die on the road. And I went off. Presently, I came out over this hill, looked down into this magnificent greenery, and there was a house. The house was so vast that I couldn't see the end of it, and it was pure white marble with round marble pillars, you know, those colonial type thing. And this house just spread away in the distance, and there was this orchard of fruit trees all around it, and such a lawn you had never seen. And it was more a palace than a house. And on top of the house, two cars were parked. One of the cars was black and one was white. There was a bride standing on the step, like she was ready, waiting for the car to pick her up. And I began to run, you know, because I realized that the wedding was ready and I had the food for the kitchen. And so I rushed to the kitchen, and everybody began to chide me, said, we've been waiting for a long time, you know, why didn't you bring it? And I rushed into the kitchen with this food, gave it to the servants, and everybody got busy. And so I rushed off to get ready for this wedding. Many years I considered that vision. Never did I have a clear picture of what God was saying. And probably even now some details might still escape me. But these are the main points. The first main point was that 1,000 pounds of food represented the fullness. One represents God. Zero represents Christ. Three times zero represents the fullness. Praise God. And so I realized that God was giving me a word for our time. God was giving me a word for the people of our time. And when I looked into the scriptures, I saw where God had done this before. Yes. I'll turn you to the scriptures afterwards and explain it a little further, but let me first just finish what I saw. So I saw that God was giving me the fullness of a word for this time. Now, I don't want anybody to get the impression that I was saying that I alone receive this fullness. Amen. For each man gets a part, and his part is a complete part for his time, if he waits on God. Amen. And so I saw that the houses that I tried to give the food to were not Body of Christ movement. I have been ill-treated by many of these church organizations with the pure, unadulterated word of God. For I never did speak a word unless I had got it from the Lord personally. You see, I got the word, went to them and said, thus saith the Lord. And they said, you're crazy. Amen. And they said, you're crazy. Praise God. Now, the next point I saw there was that when I looked at the house first, I saw two cars parked on the roof. Now, as to why the cars were on the roof, I do not know. And I won't say it was revealed to me, I surmise. So I won't tell you. You know? But you could pray about it and maybe you have an answer for me. But the cars were parked on the roof, and one of the cars was white and the other was black. I remember the one to the edge of the roof on my right was white and the one on the other side was black. Both of them were glistening in the sunshine. And I realized what God was saying. After many years though, I stayed there until God told me, for all the interpretations that other people gave me wasn't satisfactory to this inside here. And let me tell you, anything I tell you and it doesn't satisfy in here, you ask about it till you get a satisfaction. Amen. Don't just eat like little birds with their eyes closed and their mouths wide open and they just swallow everything. You just use your intelligence that God has given you and ask questions until you understand what God is saying to you in our time. Now, the next thing happened was that I saw the white car as the car that should take the bride. But I also see right in the household there was a false move ready to take off the five foolish virgins. You understand me? That right in the household, right in the body of Christ move, there is, or there are those who are deflecting, and the pressure upon ministers is great. Yes, a minister, it has been manifested to me many times, you know. Ministers say to me, "Oh, you stupid fellow, those people out there, they have money in their pockets." He said, "I have their pockets full of money." He said, "You're going to preach just as good a message as I am going to preach. Get the money from the people." Amen. And so I saw him operate. And he got, he really pressurized them and used every trick in the book. And he got the money out of their pockets and then he preached his message. I said, "I'll take what God gives me and that's it." And he always had enough and to spare. And I just barely had sometimes less than enough. And it was faith, faith, faith all the way. Whereas instead of applying his faith, he was applying his psychology. Therefore, he grew in psychology and I grew in faith. Amen. So, that was the difference, you see. So, the five foolish virgins would go in that black car. And instead of going to a wedding, they would be found in the outer darkness, in the tribulation suffering. Amen. Now, it is not God's will. Or, let's put it the other way. It is God's will for the bride to be delivered in the tribulation. You see, it occurred to me today that I've never been preaching this part of the message. And as Martha said to me, she said, "Well, I would like to hear about the what's going to happen if everybody is going to be killed, you know, and if I'm going to have to stand up and see my children killed and so on." This is the reason I am pressing with all my heart and with all my soul and with every nerve and every sinew of my body and soul to get the message out to God's people. Praise. So that at this time they pack in food and be strengthened. The Lord said, "The ants, go to the ants, thou sluggard, learn his ways." You see, when it is fair, the ants, they pick up food and they hide it and they put up food for the winter months. And God is saying that now is the time. Blessed be to God. And so we go on, brethren. I'm just telling you how I got this word and why I believe that the body of Christ will receive the word I'm giving. And so this, these two cars, one was the car to take the true bride. Now you remember in that story in Matthew chapter 25 that the true bride went into the bridegroom. Amen. the result of the union was a boy child. Yes. The result of the union was a boy child in the natural. Just telling natural people to understand a spiritual mystery. That this mystery is to be broken wide open. You get the idea? And this mystery is that the body of Christ is going to bring forth something so powerful that the world had never seen before. Amen. And this is what God calls a boy child. Amen. Amen. God is going to endue his people with such power that the world never even dreamed that people could walk in such power before. Amen. Amen. As you asked last night, Cam, how many years it's going to take? With God, things don't take years, child. With God, things don't take years. It's just like that. The moment the twinkling of an eye. If he gave us his power too long, we would probably find a way to corrupt it. What a shame. He's got to just lead us up to the tip, and there it goes. So praise be to God. So this is why I'm here tonight. God gave me a message to the household. And those who hear my message, I know they belong to this great body of Christ also. Amen. Amen. Now, it doesn't say that those who hear other people are not the same. But I know for me that the message I receive is specially for special people. Amen. And this is the reason I don't get on very well in the big crowds and in the big churches. When I went home, I went to a Baptist church to preach, where we had been preaching for a few years, and the people had changed from Baptist to Pentecostal something or the other, but they were still in the Baptist building, and the Baptists didn't know what to do with them, so they were there rejoicing and speaking in tongues. So I said, well, since these people are doing so well, let me move them on into a little further obeying this Holy Ghost that they have. Then I found out that they were really Baptists at heart. They didn't want to go one inch further. They said, this is it. They got the highest. You know, all the other churches look up to them and so on. And so I couldn't move them. So they decided to move me. So they took me out. They invited me one evening for a teaching meeting. But the last thing they wanted me to do is to teach them. Yes. For I was going to deflect them from the Baptists if they continued to listen to my teaching. So they put me outside the street to have an open air meeting. I was upset, but I just got self away, and Jesus came in. And the word went forth in the open air, and it was such a blessing. The leaders came to me and they said, look, this is how we want you to preach. You see, we don't want you to be teaching what you teach. We want you to let loose and preach like what you preach tonight. Amen. But the person who is being led off the Spirit, you are versatile. You can go out there and meet sinners and give the sinners just what they need to lift them up. You can meet a man who wants the Holy Ghost, and you give him just what he needs, and you can move in the Spirit when the hearts of the people move another way. So praise be to God. Let's go on. So my story of my call is this that I've just repeated to you. And Jesus Christ showed me that I had this food now for the household. Now at the time, you know what I was? I was a sinner. I didn't know about salvation at all. I never even heard about it. But within a few days, he led me into salvation. And then I begin to see the vision he gave me. Now, the next point about that vision is that I know that I have the food, but I didn't know where I would get it, neither did I know what school to go to. Amen. And brethren, believe you me, I went to the greatest school on earth. I went to the highest college in all the earth. And my teacher told me that if I went to another school, I would lose his tutorship. You know why? Because he not only taught me, but he gave me a promise. Because I know I have something in me telling me what to say. Praise God. So, let's go on. I want to speak to you tonight about the resurrection life. The resurrection life. Now listen, I might have wanted to give you something which was on my heart. Okay? But I'm going to give you what is on God's heart. Okay? So don't be disappointed. I'm going to speak to you about the resurrection life. Now this resurrection life is in you. It's not something that is going to come when the trumpet sounds.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you hear that? It's not something that's going to come when the trumpet sounds. It's something that you have in you that is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Praise be to God. And you need to give way to this resurrection life. When it begins, when it works and you give way to it. And the more you give way to it, the bigger it will get.
Praise
amen.
God.
You know. Good. Now, amen. Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. You know that. Yes. 15. And Brother Paul, the man who got all these beautiful revelations, we will begin at the end of the chapter. We start with verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Blessed be to God. The first phrase knocks you out. Knock you out of flesh entirely. The promise is immortality, and you cannot fully appreciate immortality while you are still mortal. Of course, everybody knows that. You see, one must go and the other comes in. Now, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You are spirit, soul, three circles, spirit, soul, body. And you need to inherit immortality in all these three realms. Amen. Now when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you already inherit this immortality in your spirit. When you are filled with the Christ in your soul, you inherit immortality in your soul, and this will redeem the body. Come on now, let's look at this situation. The redemption of your body from this mortal flesh and blood is dependent on your soul coming forth in the power of God. Right? Let us put in the different areas of your soul so that soul doesn't look so mysterious to you anymore. You see, soul is emotions. So when some of you brothers and sisters, you use your emotions You get mad with somebody, you get sad, you get glad, you fall in love, this, that, and the other. All that is your soul. You're using your soul to do all this. Your emotion. So, your will, when you decide upon a thing, that's it. You see, that's your soul. And your desires. All those three areas represent, or four areas represent your soul. So, let me put the nature of your soul, so that you might understand what I'm talking about. I'm just putting these things down that you will understand. The nature of your mind is the nature of an eagle. And the nature of your emotions is the nature of a wild beast, a lion. The nature of your will is the nature of an ox, and your desire is the nature of a man. And God called it four wild beasts. So you have a wild nature. You see, as you heard last night, Abraham brought forth a wild man. Amen. You have a wild nature, and by nature, you are children of wrath. Not only you know, we. Praise God. Okay, well, let's go on. Now, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, what does he mean by being changed? He means that like how the Holy Ghost comes into your soul, into your spirit, and fill your spirit with his glory, that the Christ will come into your soul and fill your soul with his glory. And when you allow the Christ to do that to your soul, then your soul will redeem your body, and not only your body, but all creation. Every physical thing will be redeemed by your coming forth in Christ. Now, what do I mean by your coming forth in Christ? I mean that Jesus Christ is going to take charge of your mind. Now, how do we see that? You've been thinking from morning, you've been doing your business, you've been thinking about this, that, and the other. Could you honestly say that every thought you had from morning was a heavenly thought? It was from God? Well, you check it tomorrow and see if you can make it from God. Because when you are able to do that, then you'll be able to command your emotions. See? You get the idea? The whole thing lies, the problem lies up here. If you can think right, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you can think right, you'll control your emotions. Once you control your emotion, you're going to control your desires. God showed me a great thing about desires. This is it. If you cancel your desires, if you could so live that you have no desires, you don't want anything, you accept to serve God and to do his will with all your heart, that is your focal desire, then you'll cancel out every other desire. And you know what happens? The desire is the place that Satan works on. That's where he works. Because if you want nothing, he can't tempt you with anything. If you love something, then the devil can get you right there. Yeah. And so you can well see how the devil has been working on some of us because through the things that we love and through the people that we love. The moment you love somebody, you are putting yourself in a place where the enemy can hit at you. Therefore, your loved one should be in the Lord. And this is the easiest way of being delivered from that battering, because you're certainly going to get hit from the area of your loved one if your loved one is not firmly in God. Amen. This is one of the reasons why we tell Christian girls, for God's sake, marry Christian men. And it should be God's choice. And if Christian girls married Christian men and got God's choice instead of your own choice, right, then you would never have the problem that some of you are having right now.
Praise God.
Some of us have obtained real mercy from God. Amen. And some of our lives were all smashed up, and God had to clean it up before he got us moving right. But the great idea about now is to be moving right from now onward. Don't worry about what happened behind there. You hear me? Let that thing go and pass and forgotten. Because whatever ignorance, whatever sin, whatever you caused you to have been yesterday, what you were, Jesus Christ forgives that today, and that's the God I serve. Amen. The forgiving God that will forgive you of every sin you commit. If you did murder, He'll forgive you. If you did everything, He'll forgive you, except blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. And that one, you wouldn't want any forgiveness, so you wouldn't miss it. Anybody, some devil come around telling people that they commit blasphemy. So, no, you might as well give up. You blaspheme against God already. Not true, it's a lie. If you still have a desire after God, you never did blaspheme.
Amen.
For those who blaspheme, the Holy Ghost left them. And once the Holy Ghost leaves them, you have no consciousness of sin. You have no desire for God anymore, because we didn't come to God of ourselves. What the scripture said about that? Yes, he said, I chose you, and no man cometh to the Father but the Spirit draw him.
Amen.
There you are. So if the Spirit don't draw you, you couldn't come to God. And while a man or a woman has a desire after God, it means that the Spirit is provoking you still. He's still with you.
Amen.
Bless His holy name. We say amen to that?
Yes.
Praise God. So anybody you hear talking about they commit the unpardonable sin, you just tell them that's not true. Because if they had, they wouldn't be worried. Amen. Now praise His holy name. Now, so that when we talk about resurrection life, we are talking about the life that is in Jesus, the life that is in the Father, coming through Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, into your spirit. This is the life you want in your soul.
Amen.
You remember a word of scripture that you could give me to just match it sweetly? Say that.
For he who has received me, for my son has received me, and he who receives me receives my Father.
That's good, but not the one I was thinking of. I was thinking of a very tough one that would be hard for you to pick up just readily. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. This is earth, you know. You remember one scripture said the earth shall burn with fervent heat? Your soul is earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in what? In heaven. Where is heaven?
There.
Yeah, but where Jesus lives, that's where heaven is, where God lives. So wherever God is, that's heaven. And wherever God is preparing to live, that's heaven.
Amen.
So you are one of God's heavens.
Amen.
Your soul, the human soul, is the heaven that God wants
Praise
to live in.
God.
Amen. God said, I will walk in them and I'll talk in them. And God's greatest desire
Praise
is to live in you.
Amen.
Amen. So, you see, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my soul as it is done in my spirit. In my soul area, as it's in the spirit area. And you see, brethren, God does things. He does one thing over and over and over and over until it comes out into its fullness. This is how none of us should really miss God as to what God is really doing. If you want to find out if you're really saved and if you're really going on with God, all you have to do is to take a look at yourself down the road. Amen. And then you will see the impossible job that God has done on your soul. Amen. For if it was not for God's salvation, we would not be here tonight. And it is impossible for you to sit down and listen to a thing like this if you're not saved. It's definitely impossible. Because this is not for chickens. Amen. It's something going on further, you see. Amen. Praise God. And so we go on. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Now, I described the change a while ago. This change is your soul becoming like your spirit. Praise God. And this is a change. Now, if you notice what Jesus did, Jesus changed to here, and then he stopped. Amen. Jesus deliberately changed. His soul and his spirit became one, and he stopped there, and he remained a mortal being. Why? Because he had to go to Calvary. And he didn't want to change and change his body into an immortal body and then didn't go to Calvary and shed the blood, which is what we needed. He had to leave the blood here. For the blood is the life of God. And that life had to energize our world. You get the idea? It was like a power let loose in our world. You know, like an electrical force that was let go, that we can draw it anytime we get up on that height or on that level. So when you believe, faith lifts you right up to the level of the power of the blood. And you get a deliverance immediately. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes you have some battle and you just don't know how to win it. You just call upon the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing that this power is just vibrating around you, ready to come in and set you free. You call upon this blood and see what happens. Amen. So, here we are. We see this verse, number 51, say that we shall be changed, and I give you an idea of what the change is. Now, I'm going into the scriptures after this to show you how it happens. Now, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet sound. Now, I want you to hear that. When are we going to be changed? At the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Brethren, when is the last trumpet? Nobody's going to answer that, and nobody can answer that. Okay, I'll ask you an easier question. When was the first one? Thank you, sister. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. When you accepted Jesus Christ, what happened? Tell me what happened about the trumpet. Did the trumpet just sound? No, you just heard it. You get it? Come, let me explain to you the trumpet.
Oh, no, I didn't hear
it. Well, no, not that I mean. Trumpet means message, right? Here we are. The priest would come up, and one priest would blow his horn, and another one would join him, and another one join him, until seven trumpets blasted out their voice. Right? Good. Now, the meaning of this is that at the first trumpet, Jesus Christ came out. You know, I'm going to go into it. It's just a little bit longer, take a little longer route, but hold on to the 15th chapter and turn around to Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Jesus came on the scene.
Amen.
You see what I mean? So when that trumpet, that message went forth, amen, it was when Jesus came 2,000 years ago. And you weren't here. But bless God, it kept on sounding. Amen. So when you came, you heard it one day. And so your trumpet just blew the day when you heard it. You see? But there were other trumpets still blowing. Now, the next trumpet would be the message. The next message would be the message of sanctification and baptism and walking in the Spirit. And there again, the second message sounded, and you heard it. But it was sounding long before. Follow what I'm saying? And then a third trumpet sounded, and you might have heard it. The trumpet which calls you to feast upon Jesus. This is my flesh, eat it. Drink ye, eat. You know, the communion trumpet calling you to feed upon the body of Christ, the flesh of Jesus. Amen. Calling you to get energy from his body, his life, his bread. Amen. Then you hear the Holy Ghost trumpet calling you to the body again, candlestick, calling you on to come and walk in the Spirit. The candlestick is a symbol of walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and the Spirit living in you. The oil inside of the golden candlestick with a little wick burning up there. You know, it is said, and I don't know how true it is, that the wick is part of the old coats of the priests that they tear into shreds and use as wick. But whatever it is, it represents human flesh burning and preserved by the oil to bring forth life. When that message hit you in your heart and you offer up your soul to God, your whole soul nature, your emotions, your mind, your desires, your will, when it is offered to God on the altar of sacrifice, and you leave it there, then you have heard that fifth message, fifth trumpet. You get that? After that has happened, you are ready to hear the sixth trumpet, which will be the overshadowing. And I wouldn't deceive you. I feel that at this time, we are in the time of the overshadowing. That at this time the Holy Ghost is overshadowing in the church, in the marriage, to bring forth the man-child within the body of Christ. That is, let's not talk with, let's try to explain what we're saying. The man-child means that powerful church, that powerful people who will come forth with the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To minister to the rest of the world. You understand? And so I believe the overshadowing, that's where we are now. That the Holy Ghost is overshadowing the minds and the hearts of his people, that they might submit to him, that he might plant within them the seed of life, which will bring forth this power and this glory. Hallelujah. Then the next thing we'll hear is the seventh trumpet. You see what I mean? So, I want you to hold that point. It's a delicate point right there. Because some people believe everybody is going to resurrect one time. And I don't believe that. Amen? So we're going to have to go into that with the scriptures and see if it's true. There are three resurrections within the human realm. You must have a resurrection in the spirit before you have one in the soul. You must have a resurrection in the soul before you have one in the body. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Why? Why did the Bible say that Jesus took away the keys of death and hell? Now what is the key to get into hell? Sin. Sure. If you have no sin, you can't go to hell. How would you get in there? sin is the key to hell. And if Jesus take away your sin, you can't make it. Because he has taken away your sin. He's removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. Hath he moved our transgressions from us. Blessed be the God Almighty. It was well done. So, you cannot go into hell because your sins are taken away. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's go back on the understanding of this resurrection. I made a statement. I said that we were not all going to be resurrected at the same time, but that we were going to be resurrected in a certain order. You understand? We are going to be resurrected in a certain order. Now, you read here that it was at the seventh trumpet that we were going to be resurrected, right? And you also understood that the word trumpet meant message. So when the seventh messenger sounds his message, then the resurrection will begin. Now, let's see if we can find that in the Bible. Turn your Bibles with me round to Revelation 10, I think. Praise God. Revelation chapter 10. And in verse 7. But in the days, you notice it's not just one blast, one day and finish with. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. You hear that? In the days, so it's going to be a long sounding, amen, until everything raises from the grave. Hallelujah. Now, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. And let us see what kind of order the resurrection is. Verse 17, we begin. Go down to verse 23. And if Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Get the desire after God. Give yourself practice. Read Bible stories. Do anything. Get your mind away from the world and from Babylon, and cool your mind onto Christ, for this is what is going to bring forth Christ in you and nothing else. You get it? Now, so Christ, the first fruits. Now, to prove to you that I am right and that it is people, somebody say Christ the first fruit, and they believe it's Jesus Christ at his resurrection. You see, Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. But Christ is a many-membered body. Christ is a spirit that occupies you and you and you and you and you. Hallelujah. And when this Christ spirit occupies you, this Christ spirit is your resurrection. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. The Bible said that Jesus Christ was slain and buried, and death could not hold him. Amen. You remember? It said he could not be holden of death. Death couldn't hold him. Death was trying his best. Why couldn't death hold him? Because he had been judged by God and found guiltless, and his Christ spirit re-entered into him, and nothing could hold him. Amen. And if you have Christ, nothing is going to hold you. You can't die.
Amen.
Look, brethren, if you come forth in Christ before you die, you never die.
Amen.
Isn't that what the scripture just told us here?
Right.
Wait, I don't know if you saw it. Let's go back. And the 51st verse, "Behold, I show you a mystery. All of us shall not die, but we shall all be changed." Amen. Some will take the high road and some will take the low road, but we're going to meet there together.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Don't you see? We will all be changed, but some won't die. Now, I am going into that tonight. Now, I don't just care how much time it's going to take, but we've got to get this message complete. I'm going into that fact to show you in the scripture who it is that won't die. Amen. Now, so the first fruit then is Christ. And those of you who come forth in Christ are those of you who are in Christ. Now, you don't have to come forth in Christ to be in Christ. What you have to do to be in Christ? Them that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. It's just simple to be led by the Spirit. You say, no, it's hard. It's simple to be led by the Spirit. All you have to do is do nothing that the Spirit don't tell you to do, and you'll be led by the Spirit. You have a problem, you go and say, "God, I put it before you. I lay it down on the cross. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not doing anything until you give me some direction to do it." And God will begin to lead you.
Right.
When God see you determined, the first thing he's going to do to you is get silent. He say, "But God, I can't hear you." You know what I mean. But then sooner or later, he's going to come cross and say, "Well, I've tested you and I've proved you. Do so and so." And you get it as clear as day. Amen. Them that are led of the Spirit, those are the sons of God. Amen. And so by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Amen. The signs of your being in Christ is that Christ or the Holy Ghost lead your actions. You are not a self-led person. You don't do things of yourself. You don't allow your soul nature to govern you and guide you. You take down your own self off the throne and you say, "Jesus, have the throne." And if the throne is even empty for a while, amen, you still leave it empty till Jesus takes it. Get my point? Amen. Now, I think we should look at... Oh, we didn't finish the scripture. Yes. But even every man in his own honor, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Now, Jesus Christ is coming after the tribulation, during the time of the millennium, or somewhere between the tribulation and the millennium. Jesus is coming to rule and to reign as king. And we will reign with him. Amen. You get the idea? So, that is the time when Jesus is coming. Now, let's go on. I think if we look at Colossians. We look at Colossians 2 and 9, 10. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we are in Christ. Now, let's see now. I'll take you on a little. Chapter 1 and verse 19. Let's read from 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the beginning of the resurrection.
Amen.
Of Christ. You see that? He is the beginning of the resurrection of Christ, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Struggling with tonight to get away from the evil doctrines that have been taught in the church, to really see the truth of God. You follow what I mean? This is what we are struggling with. It's a monster, and we have not even yet been free. But when we are free, then we will be ready to hear the seventh trumpet. You know what I'm trying to say, brethren, is that unless you hear the first trumpet, the second would have no use to you. Unless you hear the second, the third would have no use to you. Unless you hear the third, the fourth would have no use to you. So unless you hear the sixth, the seventh would have no use to you. And so God is waiting on us to hear the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet of the overshadowing, where man must give himself to Jesus Christ. Give himself, give herself to Jesus Christ, and let Jesus come and overshadow you and put within you a new nature. Like Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost brought this new nature in her. God is saying to you, now you have your Holy Ghost inside of you. Give way to him and let him overshadow you, your inner being, and your inner being will suffer a change. Amen. Don't you understand how the sons are coming forth? Yes. You see, some people believe it is by singing and believing and going on and singing that it's going to happen. But the sons will only come forth by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit which you have in you. Amen. Let's go on a little. So Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he turned to her and asked her, believest thou this? The hardness of men's hearts because of the unbelief. Can you imagine you, the Lord of life, standing there, and if somebody had just asked you for life, they would have got the life. Lazarus, if he had asked for the life, he probably would have moved from the dead stage through this stage into the upper stage.
Amen, Jesus.
Amen. But he didn't move more than come to be a mortal and die again. Yes, don't you see what I'm talking about? There was still a higher stage for Lazarus to move into, but he didn't even know of it.
Amen.
And then when Jesus tried to explain it to his sister, she just was blank. She couldn't pick it up. I am the resurrection. All you need, brother, is to get Jesus. When you get Jesus, you get life. When you get the Spirit of Christ, you get the life that God wants. Look here, brethren. Oh, brother, I wish I could say all of it, but let me just say this. It might get you a little... You see that? This is fire. Fire. When God turned Adam out of the garden, a very strange phrase was used. God said he set an angel with a flaming sword, turning four directions at the same time. And the angel was to keep Adam from getting back into the garden. Amen. Now, I won't hide it from you that that is this picture here. That this angel, that Satan man's carnal mind, prevent any carnal mind from going back into the Eden realm of God to really get the power that God. Amen. And this is the flaming sword. But you can go in. If you go through that flaming sword, you lose your carnal mind. It's burn you out. And then you get the mind of Christ. Amen. It burn you out. And the lion emotions that you have, it change to like the lion of the tribe of Judah, a lion that seeks life and deliverance of God's people. The ox will burn. He'll be a sacrifice. Amen. And you'll have no more will but the will of the Father. Not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Your desires will melt with fervent heat, leaving neither root nor branch. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand the scriptures now? Your desires will melt with fervent heat, leaving neither root nor branch of human desires, and you will begin to desire like God desires. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So can you understand the change? Ye shall be changed. This is the change God's talking about. And I don't know how else to tell you, but the change is up to you. Amen. Your mind can be submitted to your Bible, to God, to things of God, drilled upon the Word of God until your emotions begin to change. Right. If you want your emotions to change, you can only get your mind. Get your mind, what the Bible says. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. One time in my youth, my mind couldn't stay on my Bible. I couldn't read it. I couldn't keep down there. I said, God, what am I to do? And God said, oh, it's simple. He said, you just take a passage in the morning. And He gave me the first morning, He gave me Samson and Delilah, the whole story of Samson. And I read it and it was so intriguing. All day I was thinking on it. All day. Then by evening I started saying, why was this put in the Bible? And I tell you, God made such a revelation to my soul. Amen. One day I said to God, oh, I don't want to read Song of Solomon. It's just love story. Amen. You know, and I thought it was love story about man and woman. And God said, no, nothing like that is in His Bible. It is Christ and the church. And then my eyes opened. And I start seeing things I never seen before. So praise be to God, ye shall be changed. And this is the change that God is bringing us into. Now, let's go back to this resurrection. Because if Jesus Christ is your resurrection, the more of Jesus Christ you have is the more of resurrection you have. The more you press on and get the nature of Jesus in you is more the nature of the resurrection that comes in you. And God will be able to do with you like He did with Philip the evangelist. Amen? Or like He did with Jesus when they attacked Him to kill Him. He just disappeared out of their hand because the nature of the resurrection was inside of the man. Praise be to God. Let me just shock you before I'm finished. The resurrection will continue for 1,000 years.
That's right.
In the days of the sounding of the trumpet. Amen. How many years did the first trumpet sound? 2,000 years. 2,000 years. Jesus came in year of one. And it's now 1974. The first trumpet is sounding for 2,000 long years. And so you can understand the seventh trumpet is the seventh day, the day of rest. And this is the last message. And it's going to be preached to every creature. He didn't say every human being, no. Every creature. Every cow, every goat, every dog, every fox, every hyena is going to hear the message of God. You know why? It's going to change their natures too. They won't be wild and wicked anymore. Because we are going to arrest the devil. The first thing's going to happen, Satan will be arrested. Yeah. So all the devil that's bothering the lions out there will cease. There will be no, God said, none shall hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't you understand what's happening? Those fellows were nice fellows, the serpents and everything. When Eve went and talked to serpent, it was just a normal thing. The children would have all the big old serpents playing with. That was normal. That was their playthings. God put them there for the pleasure of man. Amen. They would be riding the animals all over and nothing would hurt anybody. No mother would have to rush out to see if her children were being hurt. Nothing would hurt anybody. In all my holy mountain, said the Lord God. Amen. And this all happened when man fell. Why? Man was boss. He was the king. He said, let nothing be hurt, let nothing die, let nothing have pain, and nothing would have pain or be hurt or die. You get the story? Man fell and he's relaxed his authority, and a satanic authority took over the earth. Somebody said, well, didn't God make marijuana? I said, no. Did God make thorns and thistles? I said, no. Did God make heroin? I said, no. God didn't make anything like that. There was no poison. They were all good. But when man fell and his authority fell and devils took charge, they turned good weeds into bad weeds. To hurt and deceive and destroy man, humanity. Thorns and thistles, God said, oh no, the earth is going to bring forth thorns and thistles. You remember that? Yeah. He said, and the earth is going to now bring forth thorns and thistles. And the ground is cursed for your sake. Hallelujah. So then the resurrection life. Now we come to another area of thought. The more life you have in you is the more nature, the earth, the things of this world will respond to you. Did you know that? The whole heavenly host is responding to you when you are walking in the light. Did you understand that? Did you understand that the angels just tramping around following you? What is your will and pleasure? When time you're moving in God and moving in the light, the angels of God just walk around following you, trying to do what? To please you. They are your servants. Yeah. So it is all for our good that I am saying these things, that we need to get our minds in order, our emotions, wills and desires. That's all we have to do to get them under God, to regiment them, to bring them down under the power of God. And as we do this, God will be right there helping us. Angels will be right there helping us. Brethren will be right there helping us. Hallelujah. Those here and those there, they will be right here helping us. For you know something? Not one human being in the heavenlies tonight, in the third heaven tonight, can be made perfect without you. No human being can be made perfect. Peter can't be made perfect. Paul can't be made perfect. John can't be made perfect without you. Why? Because they have no bodies. They have no flesh. They can't be tempted anymore. then how can they have victory over the devil if they can't be tempted and they can't sin and they can't? Can you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that the angel, the host of the saints that are gone on before have to use you to overcome the devil. They can't do it themselves. We are on this plane and they are not on this plane. They cannot do it themselves. They can only learn from how Bill overcome. And if they had the same problem as Bill had, they are watching him to see how he overcome. And Paul said, seeing then, Hebrews 12, seeing then that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with patience. Hallelujah. Don't you understand me? Well, if you don't, you ask me all the questions now, as soon as I come to the end of this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm at the end. Yes.
Didn't they overcome?
No.
And before.
No.
I don't see them sleeping.
No. Let's look at the Bible. Let's look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I thank God for Brother Paul. You know, the understanding of the scripture would not be complete without him giving us this. And he gave us, he did his part in God. Of course, through the Holy Ghost. Speaking of them, we read from verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Read on, because the chapter is an interruption there. It shouldn't be there. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That is, every one of us has a besetting sin. Every one of us has something. If you might think to yourself and say, oh, poor me, I'm just so weak. You don't believe that. Every one of us have something that would be as dangerous to us as your weakness is to you. You see? All right. Well, he said, he called this your besetting sin. He said, and run the race with patience. You see? So, the man who died, and he never did overcome that besetting sin, he has to have somebody to overcome it, to teach him how it is to be done. For very often many of these men fasted and prayed and cried and wept, and they never got over it, never really bet the devil down to ground. But in the last day, God has overcomers, and we are to overcome everything that the saints did not overcome. This is one of the reasons that we're going to have to go under some great temptation and tribulation in order to win the victory. So when you're fighting, you're not fighting just for yourself. You're fighting for the whole heavenly host. They are depending on you to win. And let me tell you something. There's no situation that you are in that some saint wasn't in the same situation before. And some were in it and they failed. And they want to overcome. They want to learn how to overcome. And God say, watch that girl over there. You watch her, and they start watching her. We are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Yes, brother.
Then are you saying that the reason they couldn't overcome was because the last trump had not sounded? They did not hear it?
Not just the last trump. Some of them, the second trump.
Right.
Some the third.
In other words, the end of their time on earth came before
they heard, you see, quiet. And it might have sounded and they never heard it. You ever thought of that? Like the thief on the cross. He was just green. He was a murderer 2 minutes before. And he just got saved like that. Well, thousands and thousands and thousands of people are being saved like that. You see. People hear the gospel, they fight the gospel, fight it right down to their death, and they just give way to God. Have mercy on me, Lord. And Jesus saved them. They're green. That no Christianity, no godliness is worked in their soul nature. You can't get Christ in your soul nature unless God is worked in there. So when they die, the Holy Spirit will take charge of their spirit. So to them, death would be equivalent to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see what I mean? So many of the people who are fighting against the Holy Spirit now, if they are good Christians, they love the Lord, but they don't believe in the Holy Ghost. When they die, the Holy Ghost takes charge of their spirit. Because they made a covenant with God, their souls are saved by the blood. And then they get the equivalent of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so they just start their life. But they have no opportunity of overcoming and the victory that we have. And this is why it is so important that we should have victory in the Holy Ghost. Praise God, yeah? Say that again.
Did Lazarus have to die a physical death?
If Lazarus had to die a physical death? Yes, he had to die a physical death because he was still a physical person. He never did gain immortality through that death, of course. The truth is, nobody could. If you die and you come back, you're just the same as you were. Where the tree falls, there let it lie. You see? So death don't do one thing to you. I mean, death doesn't make you a better boy. You know? So Lazarus came back the same old Lazarus. And the fellows were looking after him to kill him too. He had to be hiding and very careful because they were out to kill him. The Jews were out to kill Lazarus because they say he is a testimony of Jesus, and they should kill him to prove something, you know. Wanted to get rid of him. Yeah, praise God. Yes.
Now, those of us that are young in knowledge of the scripture, young in the Lord, we hear this message, we hear the trumpet, we hear it right down. Do we have to
walk in it?
The person is young. All he has to do is hear it, understand it,
walk
and
in
believe
it.
God.
Yeah. You see, because here you are.
In other words, you can hear that last trumpet.
Yeah.
And walk in it. And you're there.
Oh, yes. You see, the Bible says, I'm thinking of Joshua chapter 1. It says, every inch of ground that the sole of your feet tread upon shall be yours. You don't possess it until you walk on it. See? So what's happening is that I and my generation, all of us, you know, came out about the same time. If you check all the men who are in the forefront of the gospel, it's the strangest thing you ever thought of. It's the same year that we all got saved. From Oral Roberts right back, every one of us came off around 1947. And God began to talk to us. See, I think he said God appeared to him at that time. See? And I've checked with most of the men, and that's the time God appeared to them. Okay. But this generation took 20 years before they really start to come out to, you know, that anything like the life that God was working in them. But the next generation, Baps, I have seen people move in 2 years where it took us 20 years to just barely understand what God was saying.
Right. Well, don't you think that was God's will, though, brother, that it seems to me like it's a special calling because people are feeling and talking, but they don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's just a special...
Well, that's coming right back to what Steve said, is a trumpet that sound.
But they have to walk like that where you've got to completely surrender unto all of those things in order to... for Christ to be in here.
Yes, to get the walk in it. So you see, now the generation that you teach, you see, they are going to come up so fast that you won't understand how these just come and understand everything like you are understanding.
Yes.
And if you don't keep up the path, You see, because God is making them quicker and quicker and quicker. And can you imagine now? Now I come to my part. What will happen when the sons of God come forth and begin to teach the rest of people how that is the whole seven trumpets are sounding, and people will come forth in days and come in right into the immortality.
Yes.
So then by the time 1,000 years of that is passed, babies will be born and then they just flip into immortality. See? Praise God.
Hallelujah. Do you surrender ourselves 1,000 years that it will be that we are all living in the earth and we have overcome all of the evil at that time?
Well, the revelation is that at a certain time God is going to give us power. The Bible said an angel to capture the devil and chain him. And that the reason why we'll be able to do it is because the devil will have left the temple of God, the heaven, the new heaven,
hallelujah,
and the new earth, hallelujah, will come forth. And so this new heaven and new earth don't have any sin mixed up in it. But this one here at present has sin in it. Though God live in it, sin and devil live there too. And this is the whole I saw New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. That is the saints. The saints coming down to join with us. Amen. In the same condition that we are. And in this new, this 1,000 years, the people of God will be reigning and ruling. We will subject every thought to God. Every man who think a thought that's against God, one of us will be right here to get him. Yes, sir, it's going to be a complete police state. Policed by the sons of God who will be looking right through you. Amen. And everything that moves in this realm will have to move under God or else will be cursed. And we'll put away the devil. Can you imagine? Without a devil to tempt a person. I mean, no devil, no more devil to tell the children what to do. No more devil possessed people. No more asylum, no more sickness, no more anything, no more war, no more sorrow, no more sign. No death, except those who hate God. So this is the realm. Now, your question, I had forgotten. So let's turn our Bibles.
Did you say this to the rapture? Now, a lot of people, I know, I've never been able to see it like some says it is, like they'll all be taken up to heaven and all the, I haven't, now is that, you don't believe that way either.
No, the heaven, you see, is a state of being. Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven, and he was standing up right here. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am right now, there you will be. He was right there. So we're not, heaven has no geographical location. Amen. Heaven is a realm, a state, into which we will be lifted. And I can prove this to you from, if you turn your Bibles to Revelation 4. And verse 1. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately what happened to me? I was in the spirit. That's the up. Yes, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. See, so right here we are told what being caught up means. See, hallelujah. So yes, I was coming around to you, and it is the 12th chapter of Revelation.
What was the question?
Wait, I'll tell you the question when I give you the answer. And verse 14 answers first and questions afterwards. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So you can see the woman, the church, the same woman that in verse 1 had this man child, the same body of Christ that had this great power coming out from her, some of the people of the body of Christ will move forward in this power. This woman was now being persecuted by the dragon, you see. And the dragon is the world system. Amen. You watch and see what they're doing. The seven-headed monster is the world system, the world government, one world government, and one world church. This is why.
I think that would be the World Council of Churches.
Yes, and could be just a little more, which include all the churches. Even now that don't belong to the World Council of Churches. It definitely is. One world government, one world church. When you see the United States join up with Russia and China and all these other nations in a united nation and functioning together, then you know that the beast has taken shape. The monster has come to pass with these different heads and the 10 horns of the 10 nations that have given their powers to him. And so, when you see this, she's going to persecute the church, the body of Christ. No, not just the ordinary church out there, but the body of Christ, people will be persecuted. And as you are being persecuted, God said he'll give you his wings to be lifted up and fly away. And somebody said, ah, there is a rapture again. But the Bible said she's going to fly into a wilderness. And God showed me that the two wings of the great eagle is the mind of Christ that is going to give us that we will be always one step ahead of the devil. He'll never be able to lay hands and really crush the devil. Amen. See, so the woman, sister, Martha, is going to be delivered. The church is going to be delivered out of this tribulation. You notice she will be in a wilderness. It won't be that she will be having things easy. You might not have your your water bed and your plush this and that and carpets on the floor. She'll be in a wilderness. But everybody will be in a wilderness. The whole world will be suffering, because there will be famine and so on. And the two witnesses, which is the man-child company, will be in the wilderness too. See, so the woman will be in the wilderness, the two witnesses will be in the wilderness, and you can understand the situation there. Sometime we'll go into the details of the scripture, which shows how God is going to protect the church. He said, the earth help the woman. The earth help her. That is the natural things of life. Amen. Some people say, let's quit our natural jobs and so on. I don't know. I know that at this time it's necessary for every human being to hear the voice of God and just to follow what God is telling you in your heart, because what he tells you may be quite different from what he tells me. And he wants us to move, just each man move as he tells him. Amen. Another question that I wanted to answer is the You remember I told you about the resurrection, and I was speaking of the first fruits, right? Well, in verse 4 of the 14th chapter of Revelation, we see these are they which were not defiled with women. That's the church system. The people who were not defiled by the church system. Many of us went through it, but it didn't defile us. We came out victors. For they are virgins. You see, they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, those who Jesus Christ is Lord, those who have made Jesus Christ Lord. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And what did we say? That Christ is the first fruit. So these were in Christ. That's what it says. Thank you. Now, any more questions?